are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
I thought that this is just like your busy time, right?
No, well, last week was my busy time. Now I just like have these ad hoc things.
What's ad hoc? Like, that's Latin, right?
It's Latin for business. I think it's like, it means like ad.
After? It's like after, right?
It's like, it's just like requests that are not part of your like schedule. It's just like, hey, can you do this? Hey, can you do this? And I've just had back-to-back meetings and it's bullshit.
Damn. Sorry, girl.
Are you going to be okay without vaping?
Yeah. It'll remind me, right, it'll remind us to take breaks too.
So you can go vape.
No, just for me to pop off camera like this and then come back. Okay, let's do it. Let's grind it out.
No, everyone hates our podcast.
Everyone, are you kidding? We got all these nice comments. We only got one negative comment. You have such a stand-up brain.
This is a fucked up world. And I don't even know what's going on. Is TikTok going away? I can't remember.
We kind of, no one knows. It's like really, it's extremely up in the air.
Isn't it something where it's like only going to be around if like we sell it to Elon Musk? And I don't know why it's we.
We. Yeah. We have you to all I. decide collectively. But we're the, yeah, it's our signatures they're waiting for. No, I think that anyone could buy it and save it. Anyone rich enough, I think. Right. But like, also, we don't really know if it's a bluff still.
Yeah.
But it's looking like, less likely, but still pretty likely it was. But it'll still be available everywhere but US. But all our content will be gone. All of our beautiful videos. So please get there immediately, you guys. At Bravo _ Breakdowns. You got to
get in there now.
All our reviews.
Let us viral.
Yes.
Let us know what it's viral. Like.
See all of our thoughts on Vanderpump Rules. That's so topical still, right? People care about that now.
Vaccines.
Yeah. See if we're pro or con. Who knows?
Pro
You'll
or
have to
con.
Find out.
We're con on vaccines.
Con on vaccines.
What else do we talk about? I think that's it. Vaccines.
Vaccines. Bethany. We talk about a lot of Bethany, actually.
Bethany, vaccines, and VPR.
And those are our three most controversial.
What else do people want from us?
Exactly. The big three. Triple threats.
We're a triple threat. Exactly. It's not Jennifer Lopez. It's us talking about other people.
Okay. But to be fair, J-Lo, she is a triple threat.
Yeah. Like, okay. It was like Ben Affleck.
Mark Antony.
Her other husband. And then
and,
okay, so she's a quadruple Casper. Threat. Cause Casper. No, she was not married to him.
But they were like probably common law.
He was
married,
a friendly
right?
ghost. Okay. Wait. I just had a pop culture memory. This is what I do when I have a pop culture
memory. It's like Ray Simone getting a vision. You're like.
I just had a pop culture memory. Do you remember where you were when you saw the Page Six article that I sent you? No.
Today?
No. When J-Lo was dating Casper, not the friendly ghost, but her backup dancer, Casper. And he was seen going into like a gay sex store or something in New York. He went in the back alley, which was even funnier.
I actually do remember where I was because it was right here, right now. I did not know that that happened.
I'm going to send you the Page Six article from like 10 years ago.
Sorry, what makes a sex store a gay sex store?
I might be misremembering it, but I think people said it was gay. Okay, I'm going to look up Casper. Curious. That's what I'm going to Google. Casper Curious.
I'm Casper Curious. That's my sexualité.
J-Lo boyfriend. And I remember it was in New York City, the city of angels.
City of brotherly lights.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, city of brotherly love and light and angels. And I think they were the first in flight.
Land of Lincoln.
Okay. I'm not finding this Page Six article, but it does exist and the people remember. Oh my God, his name was Bo. Okay, this is too much. I'm just going to look up Bo Casper sex store. Hold on. We will get to Bethany, but I haven't talked to you.
Okay, but also I have a good good segue. Good
Tell
segue.
Me.
Well, no, you got to find this first. You got to wrap I'm whatever the freaking, fuck this is up, and then, and we'll get into it.
It's wrapped up. I can't find. He's wiped it from the internet, but I haven't wiped it from my like my dreams and my knowledge bank, which is my brain.
Well, could it be that the bow is actually Bo Deedle because he's interconnected to a lot of people? In fact, Bethany.
In the tri-state area.
In the tri-state area, yeah. He's all over New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, I want to say.
That's the third. It's the third. Triple threat.
But Bethany, when she was like engaged, one of the times she was engaged a couple of times, she writes in her book that like she got scammed like right when eBay started. She like tried to sell her engagement ring and they didn't give her the money. And so she hired Bo Deedle to track them down, to track down this ring, you know. And then he was like, bullshit, didn't help her. And so she was like, well, I'm going to find it out on my own. I'm going to Olsen and Olsen Detective Agency this shit. And she did like track them down and claims that she like is the one who broke this online crime ring. Mm-mm. Anyway, Bo Deedle, that guy is everywhere. Okay, let's get into our Bethany Frankel deep dive part two. Thank you guys so much, everyone who watched part one. I'm Lauren.
I'm Michelle, and we are vape-free, and I am medicated.
We're vape-free. She's medicated. We're going to try to disrupt each other as much. That is we're both ADHD, okay? And in fact, I was talking to my therapist today about how I need to accept her advice was accept my ADHD more, but not today. Not accepting it, fighting against it.
Right.
Anyway, so this is Bravo Breakdowns, and we're getting into the Bethany Frankel story. She is, of course, a Bravo Real Housewife, was on 8 seasons of Real Housewives of New York, Roni, and an entrepreneur who created and sold her brand, Skinny Girl. So she made like a lot of claims on Roni that like now on TikTok, she's saying different things. So we're just kind of like trying to dig in to find a little more about her, find out like what the truth where the truth really lies, and just honestly analyze that beautiful spiraling manic brain.
Analyze you this. Know?
Analyze this is what I say when I look at this outline.
Actually, this is part two, so we're going to analyze that.
Yes. And like the sequel, it is not going to be as good as the first one. No, just kidding. So just to reiterate, Bethany... She is like a big, you know, has her big skinny girl empire. Apparently, you know, had this like, you know, $100 million sale of it. We kind of broke. And then like now is like still, you know, an icon of and a titan of industry. We kind of broke down really how she has the time to do all that. They're more like licensing deals right. for her product. She comes on as creative consultant. She just sells the name, basically. And they put right. it on. They put it on the ham, you right. know, oh, which is not to diminish it. Like she's a hustler, yeah. but
she's
it's
a
not.
Hustler.
Yeah, but it's not
who
like...
Who has ham.
Who has ham. You cannot take that from her, although I do think it's out of...
She's a hustler with ham who doesn't support other women. We didn't make these claims.
We're just investigating them. Okay. So let's get into... So we've gone over her enterprises, if you want to know more about that in part one, more about her childhood and if she grew up in a cave with animals on part one. But in part two, we're going to start with Carol and Bethany.
Carol of the Bells. Carol of the Bethanys.
Real Christmas theme going on tonight. Very topical. So this is something that I've really always wanted to get to the bottom of. You know, like we all watched their big fight in season 10. And like, I'm always like, every time I rewatch, I learn a little more, but I'm always kind of like, what the fuck is going on?
Right. You know? Why are they dressed? Why are they dressed up like this in Dorinda's home?
Yes. Yeah. Why? They know not to do a 1920s flapper party. They know better than this.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So I didn't get answers on the flapper party.
Mm-hmm, no.
But I did get some backstory that I think makes the whole thing make a lot more sense. So if you remember, Carol and Bethany, they kind of start like clashing when like Carol's upset about the election. Yeah, they're head to head. Upset about
this
the election.
This is the 2016 election.
2016 election. And Bethany's very annoyed.
Right.
And that's, I think, not because she's a closet Republican or anything. I think like she's annoyed. Somebody was like, maybe it is because, did you notice she also, during that time, she was pushing her charity work. She was trying to get that on camera time for it. So initially in season 9, they started clashing for who's going to get the like boring storyline, basically, like,
right.
the because it's like, you know, well, it's Roni. Exactly. Like on Beverly Hills, they can all, you know, talk about their charities or, you know, like their movies they're making or any of that bullshit storylines. It's like, this is New York. You're supposed to bring it.
You're supposed to bring it.
So that's like kind of feathers are
ruffled.
They're rough.
And it's not just the boas they're wearing to Dorinda's house.
No. There's marabou all over their hearts and minds. Bethany's charity became a big focus of the show in these two seasons. And
be
like, actually,
be strong.
It really, like, if you remember, like, I think that like people were like kind of annoyed at her after season 7 when she was so mean to Jules. But then Be Strong really turned every, they were like, oh my God, it's like just so amazing what she's doing. Like, no matter why she's doing it, it's so great. So when it started in Houston, Bethany went to Carol and she said, I want to do something even bigger to help out in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
Carol introduced her to her friend Michael Capone from the Global Empowerment Mission. And that is actually like Be Strong isn't like an independently functioning nonprofit or charity. It is part of the Global Empowerment Mission. It runs within that. And so that's basically like what gave her the resources to provide all the aid she was providing. Carol's friends, those were Carol's friends' private planes that she secured to take the gift cards in.
Bethany said on the show that she would use Dennis's plane and like his connections. And it was like Dennis was helping facilitate a lot of this.
Yeah. And maybe he did help somewhat, but like the fact that it's just crazy to me Carol didn't call her out on camera. Like, I think she didn't want to get into the muck.
You know? I don't think Carol wanted to get into the muck. And mm-hmm. two, it's like, okay, Carol can't even order eggs.
That's true.
So this is a lot to ask of her to try to bring up pretty strategic and wheeling and dealing. This is very calculated moves. Carol can't order eggs three ways. Like, we can't expect that this sort of information.
It's true. And again, like, to give credit to Bethany, it's like she is the one like always hustling, finagling these deals because she's always asking people, will you connect me with them? Will you connect me with them? And then, working her magic. Those are Carol's friends in the Haiti scene talking with Dorinda about Haiti.
Oh boy.
Isn't that crazy?
Do you want to talk about it?
The scene specifically?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a beautiful plane.
Beautiful plane. So then let's get into what really caused the fallout. So Cassandra Gray is Carol's best friend. Her husband, Brad, was the CEO and executive VP of Paramount. And
whoa.
Then, yeah. So, and then he died suddenly. Maybe not suddenly. Well, it was sudden enough that Cassandra was grieving. And Carol, you know, she's the expert in widow.
Yeah. And just like loss in general. She's lost.
She wrote the book. She spends the summer with Cassandra, like, you know, showing her the widow's way, the widow's guide to dating.
Yeah, the widow's way. This is the widow's way.
So this was also during the time that Frederick and Bethany was filming, mm-mm. which was Bethany's last shot at like a solo type show on Bravo. They were like, we'll only do it if you're with another Bravo celebrity.
Her last shot on Bravo before she moved to HBO for a big shot.
Oh, for the big shots.
Terrible show.
Terrible show. And really pissed off Bravo, by the way.
Yeah. And also Frederick and Bethany was a terrible show.
Terrible show.
It was mostly because Bethany was so hard to work with.
Yes. And Frederick hated her. Like, she also was like, I think, like, you know, making him like shown on camera and blowing up his name in the press. And he's like, there's just no way I'll do another season with her. Right. So Bethany's kind of like, Bravo's like, well, that's kind of it, hon. Like, we're just stay on Roni. You know, like, you're great on Roni. We're not really interested in you pitching us other projects with you as a star. It's just not working out.
Right.
And that's tough for Bethany, because Bethany, that was all, you know, she started as an actress. That was always her dream, to have her own show, which like gives her legitimacy, her own talk show, like to kind of like be the guiding force and have all of that control, that narrative
that control, you know. And she's famously said to Heather, like, I do know it all. And if you want to know it all, talk to me.
Exactly.
Because she knows all of it. It's like that show that she did with Frederick. It's like, he's clearly the expert. He's the one who's like, he's been in real estate for such a long period of time. Like, he's like the number two broker in New York City, like all of these things. He's done real estate shows at that point for a very long time. And Bethany's like, fuck you, Frederick. I'm running it the way that I want to run it. And
yeah. Because she's like, you may know TV, but, or you may know real estate, but I know TV. And he's like, I also know TV. She's like, you don't know gay porn. I do. And he was like, I was in gay porn.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so all this to say, Bethany is like eager to keep the ball rolling and the momentum rolling on a brand new one season max show. So she's like, please, Carol, like, let me meet Cassandra.
Let me be strong at her.
And Carol's like, I think that's like maybe
a lot
inappropriate. And
oh,
but
wow,
like,
that's a lot.
And that's probably, yeah, part of the sheets of text. Like, sure, I can't come over, it would be a lot of fun. And also, like, famous people were dropping by to like grieve the, you know, all that. So it was just, it was a great,
oh my God,
Bethany sees a great networking opportunity.
I mean, seriously, like, can you imagine like famous people just dropping by to grieve?
Oh my God, I would love to see like
a vulnerable famous,
a Channing Tatum grieve.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
How does he grieve?
I don't
like
know.
Like the rest of us?
Does he do sexy dances but crying?
Grieving dances, yeah.
What does he wear to a funeral? Just like a bow tie?
And nothing else.
That's all.
That's
how he grieves.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our own process.
Mm-hmm. Stars are just like us.
Yeah.
So then on camera, like, Carol was not thinking this was a big deal. She was like, I mean,
I think she
understands why this is crazy,
like,
ask.
Carol always led with, like, I don't think she actually did Xanax, but she always had big Xanax energy.
Yeah, she's like terminally laid back. Like,
right. Too laid back. Like, some of this should really be bothering her. And the fact that she's on a reality TV show where like conflict is like kind of a central theme, she had a lot to say and didn't say any of it.
And that's, I think, like Beth, I think that was the difference in their relationship. Bethany,
one mentioned it all and one didn't mention anything at all.
And I think that's the fight, is Bethany is like, oh, we have all this tension that's been building.
Yeah.
And so let's really blow it out and make it big on camera. Like, that's what great reality stars do. But
yeah,
also, I think that Carol thought they were actual friends.
Which
they were to Bethany.
Right.
That's what she does with her friends and her family. That's kind of like, sorry, I think that's her art that I respect
the most.
But I don't know if I would want to be friends with her.
You know what I think? She's a horse of a different color.
Wizard of Oz.
Right.
So yeah, so then that's why she brings up, like, you know, she doesn't go to Carol's marathon, like, as a way to piss her off. And then she brings up the whole Adam, you know, not paying him to do a charity gig. But also, I would say, in Bethany's defense, this is starting out very defensive of Bethany, but it's like, I just get her perspective now. It's like, that's how she makes all her money. She doesn't need to like get paid for an event. She goes to the event to like meet a bunch of people that she'll later make deals with and make money off of. So she's like, Adam, honey, like, I'm doing you a favor.
Right.
You know,
and she was doing him a favor. By the way, like him going with her to do charity and doing like documenting and doing
all the press.
Like, that's a lot of press. Like that's a lot of that's a lot of his name being in the news. That isn't just directly tied to Carol. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
like kind of still tied to Carol, but I think would have done really great things with his career.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
And I think that's what upset Carol is like, I think that Carol, she was like pretending to be all aloof, but Carol did, she just really did like him. And so Bethany, when she like,
she kind loved of, him.
She loved him. Yeah.
They were together for a really long time. They were together for years.
And
they
again,
lived together.
And again, Bethany during that season is like, well, aren't you sad? Tell me how you feel about that. You know, she's still trying to push her into being the kind of reality star she's not.
She
you
won't
know?
Do it. And yeah, I mean, that was the other thing with Carol that I like, just as a viewer, it was just frustrating sometimes to watch her just be like, oh, you know, like, okay, you and Adam were together for like so many years. And you're not even going to talk about how you feel about that breakup. They never finished that book. Remember, they were supposed to do The Reluctant Vegan. They never finished the book. Do you think that part of it was like, Bethany can get shit done and Carol could never get anything done?
Well, here's what's interesting. So first, I want to go back to your first point about Carol and Adam. Like, I do think that like that was the real like breakup of the friendship was when Bethany was like, she's like, oh, I know he's like me. He's a hustler like me. Yeah. Maybe he likes you, but he's trying to get opportunities out of this the same way he was trying to haggle with me when I offered him a great opportunity. So that's really what she's saying. And it also makes Carol look bad. And Carol's very like about her image. And that just made her furious because Carol really isn't. She's not a mercenary like that.
Right.
You know, and then to the second point. Let's see. Wait, what was your second point?
I don't know. but at least we're not talking over each other all that much.
Oh, okay. It's that so that's another thing is Bethany really lords it over her that like Carol is kind of a lady of leisure now. But to be fair, look at all
she
these
is.
Opportunities that Bethany has had throughout her life since childhood. Yeah, she had like a really tough childhood, you know, and tough relationships with her parents, and it made her very dysfunctional. But she's really had, like, she had to get them, but they were all there, you know?
Right.
Whereas Carol grew up lower middle class, single mom, worked her way through, like, night school and journalism school, kept reporting, like, and,
in,
you know,
like,
doing war correspondence.
Yeah, like, yes. It's crazy to me that was, like, her career for so long was ABC News.
While her husband had cancer, she kept working and then going back and being by his bedside.
And her best friend died in that awful plane crash.
Yeah, so it's also like, how dare you make me feel below you just because, like, I did work my whole life. I worked and I, like, happened to fall in love with someone. And it wasn't for the opportunities. It was because I loved him. You would never fall in love with someone for that reason. You're always like, how would it set me up for business? How, you know, you're always thinking about that aspect. They're just two such different
people. So different.
People.
I mean, it's like, listen, Carol can't even buy a couch. Like, she still had Lee Radziwell's couch.
Yeah, and Bethany has five homes with like 30 different couches.
30 different couches.
And they could never make it work.
They could never make it work. Like, all of her couches are for rooms to go.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a Lee Radziwell.
Mm-mm. She wants to make a TikTok about how she got it at Big Lots.
Right, and talk about like her real estate. By the way, like, Carol's, the next deep dive we do needs to be about Carol's stairs. That's a real staircase that we need to get out, that America should know.
And maybe a deep dive on Ghislaine Maxwell took her author cover on her book.
That's wild.
Later, for a later time. We'll make it for you guys later. Okay, so let's get into more some like breast tax, the real research. Okay,
breast
so
tax.
Breast tax. Here's the breast tax. So Bethany leaves the show in 2019 before season 12. So the network thought she was not going to sign on for season 12. They were like, she's done.
She's done.
She's got all her skinny girl money that she can. Like, you know, it's
right.
over. Like, yeah, it's seltzer.
We've seen this snowboard with the skinny girl and the Volkswagen and the muffins and the crying and the Cartagena. We've seen it all with Bethany at this point.
Right. Well, they still wanted her, but she doesn't want them anymore because she's fulfilled her obligations to
contractually with Jim Beam.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
She did the thing.
So then they were surprised that she agreed to do season 12. They were like, okay. And you know, she was asking for something in the initial negotiations that they thought that she was asking for it just as a way to get out of her contract, is what Andy says. It's rumored mm-hmm. it was probably she wanted to be a producer on the show while being on it.
Rumors and nastiness.
And Andy was like, it's just something we never, ever would have done. So like, that's why it was surprising. Right. And then apparently it did really piss her off. They didn't give it to her and she bails, leaves her contract, doesn't shoot like 2 days before filming.
She's so wild for that.
That is wild. That's dude.
Well, you know why it's wild? Because she's it's very unprofessional.
Which is not, I mean, she's not like the Bethany. Consummate professional.
No, that's Bethany. Like, she's like, if you say you're going to do a thing, you do the thing. Like, you're obligated to do it. Like, you're contractually obligated to do it. Like, even if it pisses you off, even if you don't want to be part of it, like, you have to do it. Like, she's so crazy about that sort of thing. So for her to bail is weird.
I kind of think that was when she was offered, when she started talking to Mark Burnett, Burnett. I'm a Burnett.
Do you know who he's from married Lyle to? Touched by an Angel.
Roma Downey?
Yes. They're like super crazy conservative Christians.
Yes. Mark Burnett is a piece of shit.
They're married.
Oh my gosh. Well, if you want us to do a deep dive on that, I'm about to read the autobiography of Mark Burnett.
Oh my God. So. That's right. Cause he did The Survivor.
I know. And like the stuff I'm hearing about him and like his disregard for human life is crazy. Okay. We got to stay on Bethany. Okay. So, so then like from after she leaves the show, like, and you know, we get the big shot. It flops. It's very like critically and commercially torn apart.
Did you watch it?
Oh, I tried. I watched a few episodes.
I watched every episode.
Oh my God.
I have to tell you, sorry.
Tell us.
I had a pop culture memory. So like, the first episode is, by the way, I've only seen it once and it's been years and I saw it when it was on. So I had to like wait till the next episode came out. Like, this is fucked up. The first episode is like a bunch of people standing in a home in Connecticut. Or they're outside at a cocktail party and Bethany is just
judging
them.
Like a spy nest.
She's
that's
like,
so Mark Burnett though.
Yeah, like, let me see if they're good at business, even though I can't hear what they're saying and I'm just spying on them at a cocktail party. And then they come inside the house and she's like, I just bought this house, but I'm going to flip it. And it's one of my investment properties.
It was like the Apprentice Stanford prison experiment. It was like, what if like you have to be someone's employee and you're auditioning for it, but it's not really clear what you'll be doing. And she's just going to psychologically torture you. And whoever doesn't die wins.
Connecticut is going to be a very important thing to Bethany.
Yes. Oh, okay. Let's get into it. So then, you know, we get all of that fails and we get all her shit talking, reality TV, doing a podcast, but not a pod, even though I don't even know what a podcast is, even though I'm going to promote it on all of the Bravo podcasts.
Yeah. And she has multiple podcasts. So it's like, Jess B or whatever. And then it's
and then divorce. And then which divorce, by the way, tells. We're not going to get too much into the gory details of her divorce. Bravo Docket does a really great breakdown if you're interested in
the legality of it.
Stuff that'll really haunt you.
We're not interested in the legality of it, but she had a pretty fucking heinous divorce and it lasted for like a decade.
And she breaks down in the divorce. I think she took down some of the episodes, but like what sex with Jason was like.
She hated it.
Like, yeah.
She should have never married him when they were going through the divorce. Like they were still, he was still living in their like house, their apartment in Soho. And he would like take dumps and not flush.
Yes. Yeah. Which is like.
Pretty gross.
It's so bizarre abusers go to that.
Yes,
like,
she did
taking
have,
a
like,
dump, not flushing, and then being like, you did it. It's like, what have, like, a weird way.
He had a restraining order on him. Like, it was really...
It was bad.
It was really, really bad. Yeah, but if you ever watched Bethany Ever After, or even Bethany Happily Ever After, Getting Married, and then there was Bethany Ever After. Bethany Ever After really is the darkest show I've ever seen. And I love watching scary thrillers. And it's really, really dark.
The episode of Bethany and Jason on the boat is like Michelle's like lullaby. Like when she's in a dark place, it like comforts her. It's her comfort TV show.
But sidebar, if you want to know what true psychosis, like just darkness is, that episode is literally they are on a boat with her therapist to try to work on their marriage with one other couple. And they're supposed to be on this boat for a few hours and they're supposed to go from like New York to like Martha's Vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
The boat's GPS stops working. They literally get lost at sea. Bethany's husband, Jason, is like violently ill and vomiting. Bethany's trying to cook like a can of soup. Like, it's the most insane.
And there's another random couple there.
And they're like, yeah, they're just like hanging out and they're just like on the top of the, and like the boat. And Bethany like is like, how are you guys like this happy? And they're like, what? And they're like, we're literally lost at sea. The Coast Guard had to come get them. And they're like, oh, we had no idea.
It pisses me off when people are like, they're like, Jason seemed like such a nice guy. And it's like, no, the first episode, the first thing we see of him and Roni even is him being like, you were posing naked. I don't know if I like that. What would the guys at work say?
I'm
like,
crazy. Anyway, she was also crazy and they were crazy together. And
Yeah. So I think that the one thing I do want to talk about with the divorce, well, two little things. One is that it was, gruesome. One was that like, he was abusive to her. I think like the allegations add up to that.
I'm not saying like, we're not saying like physically abusive, but like, it's like a lot of
emotionally controlling, drawing it out like this in court, you know, like financially abusive, all of that. But also, but they both really went to the press to fight this battle. And it really escalated the conflict the way that they would, because that's a pattern we see in Bethany's relationship. When she feels hurt, when she's been abused, she will go to the press and like give, you know, information, and the other person sometimes doesn't have they don't care, you know, the press doesn't care about them. So she kind of gets her spin on the story, and that's the way that she can feel control again, you know, of the audience, of the narrative. And then a lot of times if it's someone like Jason, then that's going to escalate their aggression and manic behavior, you know.
Right.
She cut him out for a while.
Well,
she
did, but she also like during this time was like really like there were things that she was doing like publicly which were like so bananas to me. Like, I don't even know if you remember. I do. It was a Page Six article. When it was like she put on Brynn's pajamas. Like, or her Hello Kitty pajamas, and that became an issue in court. The judge was like, don't do weird shit like this. You don't need to be wearing your 4-year-old's pajamas.
Yeah, that's like that's the other thing is like, I don't like that. I don't we're like talking about it a lot. They said we wouldn't do. But like I'm like, why are you that in court against her? They both just didn't. It's crazy because Bethany, the thing that traumatized her the most from her parents was like even more than the way she was treated was the way they treated each other.
Right.
Seeing her mom, she was seeing her mom abused. That was what made her childhood bad. Right. And so then to see
a repeat
this play out. Yeah. Again, it's really, people just really are who they are, you know, no matter all the money and all the success.
Therapy,
it's like,
medication.
It's like you just kind of, you are who you are.
You are so, who you are. You can't change it, honey. Don't even try.
I have a sympathy for that. Okay. But then, then finally we get to the Rewives podcast. So this is after she's talked so much shit on her podcast about Housewives, how stupid it is,
publicly doing interviews, not even just on her podcast, like everywhere, anywhere she can talk about how toxic Housewives was. Like,
they're losers. Like, this is even before Reality Reckoning. They're losers. They need this. I don't need this. Like, I have something else going for me. Why would you want to be on it? Yeah.
I'm the success story. Like, I don't need this anymore. Again, it's like going back to the Martha Stewart thing. I think she always felt inferior to Martha. Yeah. Like she she's like, I finally feel like I'm at that level. So I can shit on the thing that got me to this level.
Yeah. Oh, wait. There, just to circle back to Jason one more time, that is the other thing I wanted to say is that the one thing that was reactive abuse, like that was in the letter or in the papers or whatever of their divorce of her towards him, is that she, and also is in the show, is in Bethany Ever After a lot. She's always calling like him white trash, calling his family like, you know, like weird farm folk. Yeah, like, she's like simple losers. Simple,
yeah, like I'm sorry, like I'm not gonna go to like their fucking house every weekend so they can see their granddaughter. And like she would tell their like her in-laws, which like, you know, kudos to Bethany. Sometimes I wish that I, you know, people
boundaries, yeah.
Yeah, where you put those boundaries, but she's like, look, I would need to make memories with like my own little family. Like not every memory needs to be with you two. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and
I'm
like,
glad I did this on camera. No. Thank you.
It's like, how does anyone even know? It's just how to, she's like an alien, you know? But, and thank God, because it's great TV. Yeah. But like, I do think it really speaks to her mindset. And another reason that the Carol breakup happened is because like, I think she grew up kind of like not realizing she was rich. And like, she kind of still hasn't realized she was rich growing up because she was surrounded by so much crazy wealth. That like she's still like,
if that's all you know.
If that's all you know, yeah, then it's like, so she still like has like the elite, you know, kind of like judgments for like, you know, the lower class or whatever, but she still has that sense of inferiority no matter how much she makes. No, you know, it's like she still has that desire to be upper crust. Yes, to be, she still has that desire to be Martha.
Again, we're getting leading up to it, but she is also the queen of Connecticut.
Yes, yes, we'll get there. Yeah. Okay, with that all set up, let's take a little break.
We're going to take a break.
These girls are having a break.
I do want to tell you, Bethany, did you know Bethany briefly dated Josh Taichman during her divorce?
Kristen Taichman's husband?
Yes.
My God. That's why she thinks that Kristen's so dumb.
Yeah, honestly. Could be. Yeah. But I mean,
Kristen was dumb. All right.
She was dumb for staying with him. I think she's a smart lady. Okay, and we're back. Is she
and
rich?
We're back in the... Oh, yeah, they're rich. They're not Bethany rich, but they're rich in... They have, like, a huge house in Calabasas now.
Yeah. How? He was, like, selling, like, fucking Herbalife or some shit.
You know what? Nice work if you can get it.
I don't care if it's Herbalife.
An MLM. Like, MLMs are great, like, because it's, like, you get to be your own boss and you just have to have, like, 40 friends who work for you.
You just have to have a great downline. And I love my downline. Can't thank them enough. If you guys are listening.
We sell knives.
Haley, Bailey. Sarah Lee.
Kaylee.
Zaylee. Love you guys. Keep selling. Jaylee. You'll make your quota. Okay, so back to Rewives podcast, so Bethany does Rewives podcast after talking all this shit about Housewives, how much it sucks, how lame it is, people depend on it.
Yep.
She does a podcast where she just talks about old Housewives episodes with celebrity connections.
Right.
I listened to the Scary Island one with Elizabeth Moss. Elizabeth Moss,
famous
Scientologist. Well, I think she was born into. I've given them a little more slack when they grew
she's,
up.
She's when way. They're maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's maybe senile.
Oh, anyway, so she doesn't let her get a word out the entire time. She talks over Elizabeth.
Oh, Elizabeth?
No, Elizabeth. No, Bethany talks over Elizabeth Moss like the entire. Like she said, Elizabeth Moss had maybe like seven sentences the entire time, and Bethany is not really giving any new information. She's just recapping the episode,
which is like, you know what, babe? Like, you know, that's
leave that to us.
We do that on that. Yeah. We talk over each other the whole time and recap something.
Yeah, don't come for our game.
Long time ago. Nothing really recent. Even when we're recapping recent episodes of things, they're still like 3 weeks old.
Yeah. And it's still mostly us talking about like actors of the 1930s.
The past.
Yeah. The one really interesting tidbit from that, though, was something I've always agreed and something we even said in part one. She's like, Kelly is not crazy. I don't think she was on drugs. She's like, I don't even think she was having a nervous breakdown. Like, but obviously we were all really worried for her and she was rightfully evacuated. She was like, she gets nervous and she gets flustered and she can't get her words across. So again, like we're saying, it's like the stuff she's saying, like crying at the gift bag. It's like right now we're kind of all crying at the skinny girl gift bag, you know? Like,
yeah. And Bethany is that Scary Island, she was pregnant and her dad had just died.
And she had come on camera, talked a ton of shit about him and said that he wouldn't see her after he had seen her and she'd eulogized him.
And it was creepy.
I don't know which report is right. We've seen both. But yeah. But it's like, Kelly, you know, it's creepy. She's just bad at talking. It reminds me of bad improvisers. I coach improv, so I'm like, that's I can clock it, you know. Okay, so then she gets a really good idea during the SAG and WGA strikes, seeing all this solidarity, all these connections being made in the strike lines.
So if you want to, okay, so like if you don't remember the strike with the Writers Guild, the Writers Guild had gone on strike, what is this, like a couple years ago at this point?
I think 2020, was it 2022?
Yeah,
2021. No, 2022.
They were asking for like, well, I think part of it was like the AI stuff, but also just like their healthcare, right? Like
It was like protecting like lead writer jobs. It was a lot of like specific things because they do already have a guild, as do actors.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, they were just asking for more protection, more support from the industry. Like, you know, there's so much job scarcity and there's not enough support to like prevent that from happening and studios being exploitative and like just hiring brand new writers and new writers every time.
And then Bethany is a genius and she's like, wait a second, that job that I haven't had in a long time that I talk shit about for a living now, they should have those same protections. And she's not wrong.
She's right. That's
reality
the thing.
They should have that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's the way that SAG, people are always like, how would a reality TV union even work? Like, you know, because
there's
so
major networks. Yeah, they should be protected at the very least by the network in some capacity.
Yeah.
And they should have healthcare and
100%. And it should be like SAG, where it's like, it's optional to join. So it's like, if you're on The Bachelorette, like, probably you don't need to.
Right.
It won't make enough sense for you, and they can afford to pay people less. Because it's like a one-off. But if you are on like your 11th year of Housewives, then like, yeah, we want you to feel free to like be like a screaming demon and not worry like, oh man, if I lose this job because the fans turn on me, will I be able to feed my kids? You know?
Yeah. Have healthcare, like just these basic things that a lot of people already get through their employers. So
yes,
and they are bringing the network, the studio, like a shit ton of money.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah, and they work hard. It is a job.
So that's call times.
Yeah, so that's where she's right. But where she's wrong is the way that she tries to get this trending.
The execution is such a flaw.
She's like, if you believe in this, post hashtag I'm with Bethany. Tries to do her own Me Too movement, but instead it's like, go Bethany.
And then it's like the hashtag reality reckoning, and then every reality star is like, I feel like there's some that are like, Bethany's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other half that are like terrified that they're going to lose their jobs if, you know, whatever Bethany's trying to do. And then she does even weirder stuff where she's like, really, like, it's not, I feel like she's realizing her whole reckoning thing is not getting the traction she wanted it to get. And she then starts like writing contracts and reading them on TikTok. Like, she's like, sorry, I just thought about, like, these should be clauses in the contracts that a reality star should have. And it's like,
girl,
be so for real right now.
She's trying to pitch a show where she's on with, like, Mark Cohen. And, like, it's like her Bethany and Frederick, but it's, like, Bethany and Michael Cohen. And it's, like, Bethany and Michael. And he's, like, drawing up a law contract. And she's like, actually, you should add in this.
So, yeah, I know. She's like, sorry, I had 48 hours to put this together. It's like, what? Nobody asked me to. But here's the thing, this is my theory, why she really started this, and it was her whole reckoning thing, was when she went on Watch What Happens Live the last time, and it was pretty explosive because Andy did – so it was her and Jeff Lewis, and Andy was straight up asking her, like, she was there to promote her ReWives podcast, and he was like –
But you talked all this shit.
You talked all this shit. So I found it interesting that you would have a show that's sort of recapping the shows that you talk shit about. And then Bethany was like, yeah. And you went to the press and you told them about that. Like, you're quoted in the press as like saying that it was like weird that I was doing that. And he's like, well, it is weird. And she's like, yeah, but you went to the press. You didn't tell me that privately, you'd said it publicly. And she really got pissed about that with Andy, because I think she thought, even though she wasn't on the show, she's not on Bravo, that she was still like she was still his special girl. Like he, she and was I always also like, think, and he's like,
yeah, I also think that it's like she doesn't know how to express anything unless it's on TV dramatically. She was like, okay, well, this is like, we're doing Housewives now. And he's like, bitch, I was your fucking boss. Like,
right.
Like, yeah, we're friends. Like, and yeah, like maybe you got like special treatment or whatever, but it's like, now you're testing me
right.
to see.
You're like, trashing the thing that I built. And then also like Jeff Lewis is like, oh, so it's like a Housewives recap podcast. So like that hasn't really been done before, you know, Jeff, he's an asshole, but mm-hmm. he's not wrong.
He's
and
not
I
wrong.
Think, like, I think it was really uncomfortable for Bethany. Like, wait, this place that I used to be like the biggest star on Bravo, no one gives a shit about me.
It's, yeah, the leopards are finally eating my face. Yeah.
So it's like, okay, like, yes, she was like, oh, you know, reality stars should have like protections, but also like, fuck it, I'll just burn the whole house down.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's what she does when she's hurt and angry. Like, I think that even though she would prefer not to be doing reality TV, she needs to be in the, or like on, in ensembles.
Right.
She needed to be in the spotlight. And she was like, but it's like, I'm the special one.
Right.
You know, everyone knows.
Favorite.
Everyone yeah. knows, like, they're just grateful to have me. I make more money than everyone else. I am above this, but I'm deigning to do
on,
it.
I always left the shows on my own accord and the door's always open for me. I think she still thinks it would be open to her.
Well. We'll get into it. So so another reason that the reality reckoning, I think, happens, and another reason that makes it so rich that Bethany spearheaded it, was because she had a few shows that she was producing in the works with Bravo. They were still working with her on a like production level. They were letting her pitch. And
they're like,
fine,
if you want to be a producer, fine. You don't get to be on the show, though.
Yeah. And they all got canned and went to development hell because of various reasons, the pandemic. But interesting reason that both of them, again, had to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the reason that Mafia Moms, which was the first show she put together, that it didn't work is because she was like, you know, fighting with the production team.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the next show. But also because she created a grossly exploitative contract where her Bethany clause was she owns 15%
right.
of any of their businesses before or after the show. She owns the Mafia for life, like trying to become her dad and get a piece here. But she, you know, if they're really Mafia.
You want a piece of me.
But that's so crazy to have 15% of any business
yeah.
they had before.
Like
what?
Where's her legal team or, sorry, someone giving her advice on like, this is fucked up, Bethany.
Like, because she's like, this is a great idea. This is like, you know.
Yeah, I'll make so much money.
I invented it.
Yeah.
And then the other part, and I actually think that this is something that Bethany would have been okay with herself. She wanted to have free reign to put hidden cameras in mm-hmm. any room of their house they wanted and have access to their life, their kids, all of it at all times. Like friggin' Big Brother.
Yeah. It's like her personal Truman Show for the mob.
I think she maybe worked on it with Mark Burnett. That sounds like something out of his like little
yeah,
mind grips.
Yeah, sounds very conservative Christian.
Yeah, but just all that to say, like you are like so for like there needs to be protections, and you created a contract so exploitative
so
that the show fell apart. Like, and then yeah, same with the show with Bravo that was like you know
Connecticut.
In
it
the works.
Yeah, it was like her Bravo show in Connecticut was essentially it sounded just like Real Housewives, but in Connecticut. But Bethany said when she talked about it that it was going to be like they weren't allowed to be mean to each other, and it wasn't going to be this exploitative, like it wasn't going to be centered on conflict. So it was very different than the Housewives, but it was like following rich people in Connecticut, rich women. Interesting casting though, because one of the people cast on that show was Eva. Her name's Eva, not Eva. Eva Amari, Susan Sarandon's daughter.
Yes, which I don't know how. I actually think that she's like bizarre enough that I do think that
she's a
show
influencer.
Around her, you wouldn't even really need conflict. If you can peep her Instagram, she's she's a character.
She's a character. She's a character. Yeah, she's a character. I would have watched that show.
I would have watched the fuck out of that show. But also, interesting enough, it was green light. It was filming. It fell apart
right.
because of production. Company difficulties. She sued Bravo a month after it fell apart.
right.
for reality reckoning, you know, a month after. Like, suddenly it's like, actually, all this is very wrong what you're doing, and I want no part of it. And if you should be punished, like, it's, so transparent.
Give me money.
So she eventually dropped the lawsuit, but Rachel and Brandy both used her same lawyer to sue the network. Mark Garagos and Brian Friedman were her lawyers. And Rachel's case is still in the works, and Brandy's lawyers fired her. We all saw her tweet about that in her garden in a gown, half-lidded.
Garden of Eden.
And then Bethany has, I believe, since started to mend fences with the network. She did the Jennifer Lawrence Watch What Happens live episode because Jennifer Lawrence was like my three people I'd love to have, you know, fantasy dinner party.
Right.
It was like Bethany, Bethany and two others. I was just so shocked to see Bethany there that I was like.
Right.
And so that was interesting to see her there. And then cameras were up in Westport again in October 2023 with one of the cast members. I don't know. It could have been, you know.
They were contractually
else.
Obligated to be there for some reason.
Yeah, just for Bethany's. So the contract. Has them shooting for the next 5 years with no show.
This is the real Bethany clause. Like, you have to pretend to be my friend when the cameras are around.
Yeah.
But then she did even weirder stuff during this time. Do you remember that she had like at that dinner party, she had some really big dinner party and she posted it all over social media. And it was just like all housewives, like former and current. And she was like, they all are on my side. They all agree with me. But it was like, you've never done anything with housewives that you weren't like obligated to be there. Like, you never showed up for any of that stuff. Like when Andy had his baby shower and it was all the OGs from every franchise, she was not there.
Mm.
Phaedra was there. Leanne Locken was there. Right. Dallas was on at the time, I think. So it was like, but it was like two OGs from every franchise. And that it was the.
And they're original. The ones who were actually had a relationship to
You think Bethany would have been there. And then she talked about it and she was like, yeah, I mean, I didn't go, but I sent a gift. Like, it was like, it's just a weird. Like, she never felt like part of. The group, because I also feel like the housewives from different franchises like getting together, like it just feels like
she doesn't want to be in it. She wants to be like, if Beth or if Andy had a separate baby shower, friends and family, she'd want to go to that one.
Yeah, that's the one I want to go to. That's not like on social media. That's not Lisa Rinna getting fucking wasted and yelling at everyone dancing on a table at the Palm, which sounds like the most incredible party.
That sounds great.
It's still like the fact that it was never like an episode of television is like the saddest thing to me.
I know. See, but he should take a page out of Bethany's book and expose his personal life in gruesome and macabre ways and show his baby shower, you know?
Yes.
The other dinner party that I would want to go to the most is when Tamara was fired the first time. And apparently six of the housewives from OC got together and they bought a cake and they drank and celebrated and they cheered to her demise. I think Alexis was one of them, actually.
Oh, my God. At first, I thought you meant they all got together and pitched money to buy a cake. And I was like, that's weird. Like, they can't afford a cake. But that makes a lot more sense. They just, like, had a celebration is what you're saying.
Yeah. It wasn't like Tammy Knickerbocker where everybody needed to chip in.
Right. She wouldn't be able to afford that cake on her own.
No. Teamwork. Okay. So then... So let's talk a little bit let's get a little into Connecticut. So like we said, you know, Bethany's always had kind of like a thing about upper crust, society. Crust. I mean, she went to Pine Crest where it's like, those are like, that's like one of the best, you know, prep schools
but
in
she's
the nation.
Just, yeah, she's too brassy and brashy and in your face. And by like zero decorum, like this lady is like wild. She's like the least polite person you can imagine. But she's always wanted to be in that, like, world, like the Martha Stewarts and being polite. And
And I think she leans into, like, oh, I'm so abrasive. I'm okay with it. I accept myself.
I'm just
it's
like a man in business. It's like,
exactly. It's like, well, it's like, it's because in this way, I'm superior to the Carols, to the upper crust, because look at how much I'm getting done. And that's why it's okay for me to be that way, you know? And it's just like, Bethany, you're enough, girl. You're enough.
Yeah, stop it.
So when she starts dating Dennis Shields, Which we also on the show, and this is a little, so he was like a married guy who lived in like New York, a house in Connecticut. His wife was Bethany's friends from prep school.
Right.
And we learned from the show that Bethany's like only real friends were her friends from her prep school, but Bethany claimed like, oh, we weren't close. I don't really know the story there.
Do you know who else is like that? Quick sidebar, where they only have like friends that are not, their real friends are not famous and they've had them since like childhood. Kim Kardashian. She doesn't really have famous friends that aren't her sister, like her sisters. And the only people she really hangs out with that are like true like girlfriends are like the girls that she went to high school with.
But wouldn't they still be like, it wasn't like Calabasas High School? Wouldn't it still be like incredibly rich California women?
They're incredibly rich California. They're not famous. Yeah.
That's good. That's healthy for her. I like that.
Yeah.
Also Dennis's wife is a model and a interior decorator, a top interior decorator, exactly like Bethany's mom. And Martha Stewart. Yeah. I mean, really a pattern and a blonde. Anyway, so they start seeing each other, we all know, like,
it's in page six.
Yeah. And then what's confusing though is like, she's, you know, she's clear on the show about them being kind of on again, off again, because sadly Dennis had an addiction, which he later died from. So that kind of explained why it was on again, off again, but also she goes to Bobby's funeral on the show. With Paul, her boyfriend, after Dennis. Yeah. And this is before Dennis is, when they were still together, which like, oh, that all makes sense. It tracks with what Bethany says in seasons 10 and 11 until after Dennis sadly ODs.
Yeah, passes away.
It's so sad. And I feel the worst for,
and she still filmed that season. Like he passed away like right before, or I think they had just started filming when Dennis passed away.
Right. But
never see her crack about that
until
Luann.
Yeah. It's amazing TV. And I think that obviously they loved and like cared about each other so much, and that's such a tragedy. But I also really feel for his ex-wife and his
and
kids.
He had a lot of kids.
And it was like he decided to get involved with a reality TV star and like relapse like right before he died. So all his death, all of it, it's a media circus.
Right.
He'd already been drawn into their divorce, like, and then it comes in again, like for Jason to try to get custody after he dies. It's all so nasty. And his name is in the papers over and over again. Just seems so painful. So his ex-wife issues a statement where it's like, well, he'll, you know, I matter so much. Always be the love of my life. And then from there, it seems like some people think that's like a slight at Bethany or something, and it seems like she might take it that way too, because she starts going to the press
quite how in love they were, and that they were secretly engaged, and she like, there's like, you see a picture of their engagement ring that she never really wore except in private, like,
and then calls the press again and says that he gave Bryn a ring. And I think another thing is the ex-wife statements made people speculate that they had been cheating, or it had been some kind of betrayal, and Bethany like that really makes her pop
off. They talk about that on the reunion, and they accuse her that her and Dennis had like an affair, and she calls, do you remember on this reunion, she calls
the daughter,
like, his kids. It's like,
I don't know if that's, I mean, who knows? Like, we really don't know what happened there. And like, you know, his ex-wife, again, who did not want to be a part of it, it seems like a private woman. But it's like, it just shows that like Bethany, it's just the way that she handles any emotional situation is trying to take control and make it a media circus. It's like, let's get the media involved. That way I'll feel better about the narrative. Whole thing.
Yeah. And I do think like Dennis and Bethany, like their relationship obviously was like very on and off and complicated because Bethany was going through that crazy divorce. But also like he was like a big part of her, like helping her with her businesses and stuff. Like I think that was like, because I don't remember.
Well, he's incredibly connected. He was
very successful.
He was a consultant on Blue Bloods. Also, like the reason it was a bad media circus, he died in like Trump Tower. Like, he was good friends with Michael Cohen. They lived across from each other. And this was like right after Trump got elected. So it's like they're getting all of this, you know, scrutiny for all of it. Yeah. And it's just such a mess. And like, you know, it's, you know, the fact that like her camp is sending out stories, I think is like, is very telling the way that that's just kind of how she, that's how she grieves, you know, like.
That's how she grieves.
That's her Channing Tatum bowtie.
Calling Page Six and being like, we were secretly engaged. Yeah. I was the love of his life.
Yeah. It's wild. I think she was like at first not invited to the funeral because they were worried about that. You know, they've been sworn by the Paps the whole time. But then she ended up being able to come because they were able to like.
Right. And it is like she had really just started filming that season.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's crazy that on the next season,
she
and this is her worst storyline, by the way, because it's so fake. She pretends to meet Paul. Next season, when she'd already brought him to Bobby's funeral,
yeah.
And then she's like, "Oh, I'm dating. I think it's new, and I think he's going really great."
She does not talk. Yeah, she does not really talk about Paul, and he doesn't live like Paul. It's Paul Bernan. He's got his own thing. I did a deep dive on him on my own, but like he at this time is still living in Boston. Actually, he always lived in Boston. He always split time, but with Bethany, like when they got serious, they bought a house together in Connecticut. He was always splitting time in Boston. I'll tell you about Paul really quick. They were together for a really long time. They were engaged and they weren't engaged. And then they were engaged again, even though Bethany said like she was never going to marry him, that like they were just going to be engaged. And she was,
but
just
she said that 2 years after the engagement, she was like, actually, we're just going to be engaged forever.
First,
I'm like,
yeah. After they broke up and got back together, she's like, we're just going to be engaged forever. You know, she never met Paul's kids. They wanted nothing to do with her. So she never met his children. So whenever he split time between Boston, where his family lived, and Connecticut, like, yeah, the kids were never there. She's never met them. And they were together for like 7 years or something, like really like a very, very, very long time. He's from a very like rich, he's like a aristocrat.
Connecticut royalty. Yeah.
And I don't think he ever had like a real job. He's like a film producer is what, but he was just like really rich.
I fun fact about him that I found out, their relationship still doesn't really make sense to me, but what is funny, his dad
together.
Well, no, but like when they were dating, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But his dad was when Robert Kraft, the new owner of the New England Patriots, got arrested for a hand job.
Yeah.
His dad was in the massage parlor with him.
Right.
I just like that fun fact.
Yeah.
Do you have any theories on like what was going on in that Paul relationship that like brought them to each other?
No, because he was there for like a lot of fucking crazy things. Like he would go with her to court when she was going through her divorce with Jason and like all that like hysterics. I don't know. I'm really like, it's hard to see Bethany and envision her in a healthy, normal relationship. I always wonder like, what does she talk about? Because like what she shares publicly, like especially on her TikTok, is so unhinged. I can't imagine what she's saying to somebody that she's like vulnerable with.
And he's so weirded out on every TikTok. He's like, so it doesn't seem like he's doing it for like attention.
Well, no. And I read that like one interview where she's like doing a TikTok, and we talked about it in the last episode, The Cut. Like he's there and he seems to like a lot, like from what the interviewer said is that he seems to like it, and like that she's like kind of nuts.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I think.
Yeah, he would set up a bunch of stuff for her. Like, he's the reason that Jill went on her podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
That she didn't have that connection?
She did, but he was, like, the one who convinced her to do it. It got in touch with Jill's people.
Oh, wow.
It was kind of, like, moonlighting as her manager for a while.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's definitely the kind of relationship she needs and continues to have, is like they've got to kind of be partner, like work partners, because her life is so much work,
right?
And probably, you know, he had time on his hands, you know,
right?
And it's like she's entertaining, I would say, for sure. And it's clear what, like, why she would be drawn to him, where he's like this handsome guy, like, and super rich,
and
blue blooded. Like, she started like talking about Nantucket constantly, carrying a basket around, you know, she just totally
bought a big ass house in Connecticut. Like, she's finally in Connecticut now. She's she had left New York, like, she had her house in the Hamptons, but now she has like this beautiful home in Connecticut.
Yep.
It's from the 1700s.
Whoa.
I know. 1700 or 1800s. Yeah.
I was like, crazy. Is Connecticut one of the 13 original colonies?
Yeah.
Damn.
It should have been if it's not, but I'm not going to Google it.
Damn, was everywhere but in the tri-state right. area? Was Jersey?
I don't
Sorry,
know.
We're so, I'm so we, stupid.
I think I don't I care.
Okay, so yeah. one thing that really makes me think that that Paul is into the drama is because, so Bethany, we'd always heard on the show about her fish allergy, right? Which is like weird.
A lot of people have a fish allergy.
A lot of people have fish allergy common. And hers is a allergy that is real.
It's very unique to her.
But it's a real type of allergy. You can be allergic to fish with fins, not shellfish.
Yeah, no, but I've had a friend who was allergic to, well, I guess she was allergic to all fish. She couldn't even be in a sushi restaurant. Like, she would start, like,
right,
having a reaction.
So it's like, it seems Bethany's is not this level, like, and it's clear, it's on the record in season one. She Ramona's like, have a fish meatball, and she's like, well, you want me to take a trip to Cedar Sinai?
Fancy so, hospital.
And so, like, she has always been allergic, and then in season 9, Cartagena, she has the allergic reaction to the miso soup because it has fish oil in it. A little suspect, because isn't she a cook/chef, and like miso soup usually has some kind of fish oil?
Yeah, it has fish flakes in it. I mean, yeah, and we also see, like, the first episode of the Berkshires that we see, Dorinda's birthday party. She doesn't know that Bethany's coming, so she is having a sushi chef there. And she's like, oh, I can't eat it, but it's a whole thing. She's, like, not going to eat anything, and she gets in a fight with Heather. Here's the weird thing about Bethany's fish allergy. She goes and she orders and she eats sushi. She does eat fish. She orders seafood from other restaurants, like her shellfish. Even if you are just allergic to fin fish and not shellfish, the cross-contamination, if you're ordering seafood from a fish restaurant, is probably incredibly high. So the fact that she does this stuff very freely is what's really wild. And by the way, like, she says that she's allergic to fin fish, but she does eat tuna
in her book.
Can.
Yeah, oh, and she eats tuna from the can all the time.
All the time. She shows it on TikTok, like, making a tuna fish sandwich. It's a very weird thing. I'm not
saying
that
she gets the tuna that's, instead of dolphin free, all dolphin.
All dolphin. I may have asked my sister, who is a doctor, and like, she went and watched like Bethany's like crazy, wild crab adventure and mussels in the bucket in the Four Seasons and the gloves and the whole thing, wild eyed. My sister was like, I'm not saying she doesn't have a fish allergy, because I'm not her doctor and I can't say that, but it is very odd that she can eat this much fish and like shellfish from a seafood restaurant and not worry about cross-contamination, because it is very high. Well, even if you're not doing it with one shellfish, there's a lot of different shellfish that she's eating here. Like, there's no way that there hasn't been cross-contamination.
And here's where the side eye starts. Cause, you know, it's like, I'm allergic to it just makes my mouth itchy, but I'm like, I'll eat it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that an allergy can start like that and get worse over time. But the fact that she's still like this when her allergy, and this is when it first came into question, was so bad that in 2019 she was on a flight with she tweeted she was on a flight with Paul, and she was exposed to fish because fish was one of the meals on the plane that way, you know, it's first class. And her reaction was so bad that the pilot got on the speaker and said, how many of you think we need to turn this plane around because she might die, like, said something like that. It's like, adding up. Danny Pellegrino, I think, was the first one to give a side eye on this. Like,
she said that, I think this is a time when she said that, like, she was like, her throat was closing up, and it was like the only reason she's still here is Paul found a Benadryl and was able to push it down her throat while she couldn't breathe until she could get an EpiPen and go to the hospital.
And, like, just the pilot asking about the turning the plane around. That's very suspect.
Such a weird thing. Because if she was having a real, like, allergic reaction and, like, her throat was closing up, like, there would not be a scenario where they wouldn't try to get her, like, a medical attention immediately. Because that is a lawsuit for that airline, big time.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, also, we can't really say, like, if she's allergic or not. And, like,
I'm not saying... Yeah. She probably is. Like, I'm sure that she is. It's just the way that she goes, like, to talk so publicly
to
about
exaggerate
how serious of
to exaggerate it, to that
the
level.
The seriousness.
This happened a week after a kid had died because fish was being cooked in the kitchen where his food was being prepared, yeah, and the particles were in the air. A child died visiting his family's home. And for a week later to, like, again, go to the media, like, I'm sure maybe it was something scary that happened to her, but it's just, that's how she expresses herself. But there are consequences when you're a public figure. Yeah, and that's, and we're kind of like, what?
Yeah. People are going to call you out for, like, okay, you said you're allergic to fish, but
if you're that allergic,
why are, like, you ordering so much seafood from restaurants? Like,
I mean, well, here's the thing. So again, we can't see if she's, what this does prove to me is something that we see over and over again in the show, and what we see, you know, lately now with her kind of dubious science claims of having leaky gut syndrome, of her, like, claiming to be a health food, you know, like, I'll cure eating disorders, when she released a book that was basically how to be a restrictive eater.
No, literally, there's a part in that book, her whole thing with eating was, and she still says it, she just said it on TikTok not that long ago, which is, like, taste everything, eat nothing, which is, if you have disordered eating, very similar to chew and spit.
Yeah. Or just restricting, you know?
Restricting, like, because that means I'm taking a bite and then I'm not eating the rest of my meal.
And she's like, never eat until you're full, which is actually the opposite of what nutritionists and eating disorder recovery specialists say.
Yeah.
And it's like, she did, you know.
Sated when after you eat, not still deprived.
Yes. And I think, like, I think obviously, like, her mother had a really bad eating disorder. And I think, like, diet culture is so prevalent, sometimes it's hard to know for people to know. Like, I think maybe compared to her mom, she never thought her eating disorder was
right. But
was
even
disordered.
Though she had a brand named Skinny Girl, where she is the picture of the skinny girl.
And that she can't sell because it's her bread and butter, you know, even in this diet culture.
Yeah.
You know, or even in this, like, you know, body positivity time.
Right.
But so, yeah, that's where I think we have the right to, you know, I think it's always icky to speculate on this stuff, like, but the fact that her eating disorder is, or her book that she's saying, this will help cure your eating disorder, it's an eating disorder manual, that's very irresponsible.
Very irresponsible.
In my opinion. And a lot of, like, the recent ailments she's been suffering, again, could be totally real. This new wheat allergy, leaky gut syndrome, is not real. She has, like, symptoms of POTS, which is when it's like a form of
dysautonomia, but it's, yeah,
which definitely dysautonomia is, like, all these things, like, and digestion problems, all of like the fish stuff, all of that. It's like it's all issues around food that can, and issues with your body that can happen after time, after disordered or kind of unhealthy eating.
Yes.
We mentioned it all with the fish.
What I will say, folks, is before TikTok, whenever you're listening to this, probably maybe TikTok is already gone. So if it's not gone and you have never seen the TikTok of her eating crab in Four Seasons, it is very much worth your time.
It made the news. That's how crazy a TikTok it was.
Like, it made, like, the
national news.
Yeah. It wasn't just what we call, like, my news, Michelle News, which is, like, the Daily Mail, Page Six, which I will never not read those things, because guess what? They don't put a fucking paywall, and information should not be expensive.
This is your reckoning. I'm with Michelle. Hashtag I'm with Michelle if you think that
only read tabloids. If you want me to read, like, good news and know what's going on with the world, don't gatekeep and make me pay. Don't put it behind a paywall. Let me see it.
Well, I don't know. Follow, like, Al Jazeera on Instagram.
I don't think that's around.
It is.
I don't think it's around. It's just the Daily Mail.
Okay, to wrap it up, so we really wanted to, like, figure out, that was, like, the central question was, like, has Bethany lost it lately? A lot of people are like, she's lost it. She's so different. Would she never really have it?
She knows exactly what she's doing. Because we're still talking about it. Like, the drones.
And I really think it's a combination of all three. Like, I think that, like, You know, something that like people pointed to was like, oh, Bryn, like now she's showing Bryn on camera. Something's really changed. And it's like, well, kind of the only reason she was off camera was because of the divorce. She always like did pap walks with her and stuff. Like, I think it's like she's a part of her family and relationships. And that is like all she expresses all that to the world. Like the press is just a part of, you know, it's the third, it's going to be the third person in all of her relationships because of her job, you know, like she makes her entire life work and makes money off of her entire life. And I think that like part of the reason the TikToks are so spirited and pivoting conspiracy theory is because that's kind of what sells on TikTok, and that's her job now, you know.
So, and TikTok's going away. Did you know? So she was like, I'll go on Instagram or whatever, and then she went back on TikTok and was like, I've already been banned from Instagram. I don't know what she was saying over there, but
it's probably more drone stuff,
more about the drones that she calls Dior bags. It's very confusing following her metaphors with that. I can't keep up, and she's the only one talking about the drones still. I think we've all don't care.
Yeah,
take our information.
But it's like that is, again, she's so good at finding opportunities. Like that's something I was just talking about like a month ago, where I was like, man, like all of these like crazy people, like so many people are into conspiracy theories now and really believe like Atlantis and like what's the one you just looked into?
Oh, I don't remember, but it was
the architecture or it's like
it was some like secret society city that like they had they figured out a way to have like electricity without using coal or whatever. And then the government was like, they're too advanced, so they destroyed it.
Like people make this like their whole, or like, you know, like that aliens are robots. I don't know, all that shit. Like, you
aliens
know, just
are robots.
I don't know. Like all of that shit that's like a little, you know, a little bit racist, but you don't know how, and it's so crazy. It's like people are so into that right now and they'll buy into it. It's like that's a great way to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I kind of think Bethany sees that and she's like, hell yeah, baby.
Yeah. And she's like one of the biggest TikTokers out there, which is just nuts.
It's so nuts. I think it's got to be people who didn't watch Housewives.
I think it is, because I think it's like a bunch of younger people and they might know that she was on it but never watched her and are just like, she's just this woman on TikTok who's like eating chicken salad every day and talking about it.
It's just, she's just this lady eating a can of tuna with like mayonnaise and nuts in it and a fish allergy.
And she's like, I have a fish allergy. And she's trying to bring a can of tuna into Chanel. And Chanel's like, please don't come in our store. And she's like, fine, but I'm going to make a TikTok about how you won't let me in. And it'll have like 1,000,000 views.
So yeah, so that's our analysis and deep dive on Bethany. Again, all of this research is from Reddit and Wikipedia. Please don't get mad at us if it's wrong. We end every episode with an oral exam. That's a 1-minute essay on the. Do you not want to do one, Michelle?
No, we can do it. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Okay, I'll do mine first. So this is a 1-minute verbal essay on a topic of your choice in pop culture. This is Lauren Davis's oral exam, and her time starts now. In this essay, I will prove, how dare you, Lala? How dare you? You know, there's a lot of your behavior I don't like, and you've been deeply annoying and missed big time on a few seasons, and especially in your podcast, but like, I don't, you know, engage with that. But I was like, hey, you know, everybody lay off Lala. She's trying to be a good team member. Production is pushing her to be mean. Like, she's done so much worse stuff than just be mean to Ariana. Get mad at her for, you know, like appropriating. But the Ariana stuff, maybe everyone lay off. Then what do? You turn around on me and you post a Fox News article about how Trump should not help with funding California Build Back after the fires until friggin' Gavin Newsom and the mayor resign. Like, you friggin' idiot. You're pivoting alt-right already. Everyone else was right about you. You're a loser.
You are a loser. And now we said it. Isn't it weird when you find out, like, people you thought were cool are secret Republicans?
I mean, I think that so many more secret... I think that this fires thing, which tragic, there's so many secret Republicans who are going to come out in L.A. It's not going to be the R word anymore. Now, finally, they get to say the quiet part out loud.
Yeah.
I never thought it would be Lala because she's so into her like bullshit white woman feminism.
Yeah.
But nope, she is like rich enough where she doesn't give a shit about anyone anymore. And she's going to consume anything that makes her feel better about that and stand Rick Caruso. So I'm done with her ass.
Okay.
Okay.
Ready? Just sent you that one article, but yes.
Okay. Did you find the Casper?
I did.
I'm proud of you.
It was
we did come full circle.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is Michelle Baber's oral exam. Her time starts now.
Okay. In this essay, I will prove this isn't really pop culture, but I don't believe in natural deodorant. And I think people should stop pretending that it's working. Mm. And I'm calling out Gwyneth Paltrow right now. I'm calling out Goop. People should be wearing antiperspirant with aluminum, because it'll actually keep you from sweating and from stinking. Yes. And I guess a lot of the argument that like holistic, whatever bullshit people say about natural deodorant is that it won't give you Alzheimer's. Listen, I'd rather put on something that will give me Alzheimer's and I forget that I used to stink than just remember that I used to stink.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. And like, bitch, I mean, everything gives you Alzheimer's. I pop a Benadryl all the time. I had a weird rash today. I ate one. Will I get Alzheimer's? Maybe, but I don't have the rash anymore.
And you know who else had Benadryl when they were sick?
Bethany. And now we said it.
Bethany ever after.
So yeah, that's going to do it for us. And tune in next week. We are going to be covering the Salt Lake City finale that's airing, I think, as we speak.
Three special guests. Yes.
I'll be gone, though.
Lauren's not coming. Please tell me you got it. The article.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So let me pull this up. Isn't J-Lo enough for you, Casper Smart? Toy boy to one of the world's sexiest singers caught slinking into seedy X-rated peep show. Isn't gay. Fellas, is it gay to go to an X-rated peep show?
I didn't know they still made those.
Yeah, that's I kind of like it. Feels like a throwback. It's like you know, like when people write with a quill.
He's an old soul because he was 17 years younger than J-Lo.
I just love that they still have those in the Deuce. You know, it's like New York is so cleaned up since Giuliani. It's like, I thank God that there's still peep shows, and good for him for supporting that.
Mm-hmm.
Keep New York horny. Love you guys.
Bye. Bye. Okay.